Oh, Lord. I see the light. How y'all doing this morning? Everybody doing good? Y'all had a good week? Ooh. Teeter-totter. But that's good, because my week was chaotic. It was crazy. You know, we go through a lot of stuff. Financial issues, occupational issues, parental issues, marital issues, a lot of stuff. And my week was crazy. I shared this with the 9 o'clock service, too. My aunt had called me, and we were just talking about everything that was going on, and she was trying to keep me encouraged. And she said, son, you are a child of God. You ain't no chicken pecking around on the ground, not knowing what you eating. You are an eagle. You fly high above the storm, and you keep your eyes on the sun. So when you're going through problems and you're going through situations, remember that you people, we are children of God. We're eagles. We fly high above the storm and keep our eyes on the sun. That's the way you push on. I'm going to open up in prayer before I get started. Lord, I come before you this morning to be a vessel for your word. I pray that the ears, eyes, and hearts are opened in here and the seed is planted. It may not be for me to water, but it'll be for somebody to water to bear fruit for you one day. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Follow me. The words follow me. Two very simple, yet bold and powerful words. They were the same two words that Jesus used when the Spirit led him to pick the 12 disciples. And those same two words are the words that were said to me on the night of the accident I had on October 7th of last year. You see, the night as I was laying in the bed, trying to wrap my head around everything that had happened that day, everything that was going on, in tears, praying that God be with Larry and his family, praying for me and my family, and praying for everyone that's affected by this tragedy. And when I finally fell asleep, I had a dream. And in that dream, there was a light that was so bright, it would have been impossible for human eyes to look at. There were two hands reached out, and there was a still, gentle voice that simply said, follow me. And many may not believe that that happened, but what people believe and what I know is two different things. I know what God gave me. And it was in that moment that I knew that I was in God's hands. I knew that he had me covered. And that any doubts or any fears or even the identity that the enemy tried to place on me had no place at all. I could have easily turned my back to God for letting this happen or became bitter and angry because it happened at all. But soon I came to realize that God's purpose is greater than my plans. And we all tend to forget that from time to time, I do believe.
That's right.
But you see, before the accident, there were some things in my life that had happened that I know that God had his hand in. He delivered me from many situations that could have had a horrible ripple effect, could have ruined my marriage, wounded my kids, lost friends, and put a title on me that I knew I didn't want. But I do believe, because I was taking the baby steps to get closer to God, he knew he had a work to do in me and the work to do through me. Because we all know that God fully loves and knows each and every single one of us. There's nothing about you that he does not know. There's nothing that you do that you hide from him. The pain, the abuse, the abandonment, the addictions, the hurts, the habits, the hangups, he knows it all. So in knowing all of this, it made me wonder, what does it mean to follow me? What did Jesus mean when he said, follow me? And as I began to get in the word and started studying and researching and spending time with God, this scripture came across as I was reading. And it's Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. It says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's strong. That's strong. And when I read that, a few things went across my mind. Number one, I don't believe I've ever heard this scripture before. And if I did, it didn't stand out to me like it did right then. But we all know the Holy Spirit, when it shows up, it reveals, and it reveals strong to get his point across. And then verse 34 said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And 39 says, who finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. A sword. I don't know if y'all was here when Mike Barton spoke, but he had the Rambo Jesus on the screen. And I told him earlier, I said, mine was kind of like that, but it was more like Leonidas from 300. You know, beefed up, ready to go. You know, but a sword. A sword brings division. It cuts, it slashes, it separates, it divides. And it said, it'll turn family members against each other. Your enemies will be sitting in your own house. Be members of your own household. And I don't know if I got any enemies, but I don't want them in my house. You don't want your enemies nowhere near you. But when you follow Christ, things change. They change drastically. There will be divisions in your family. You'll lose friends. Relationships will grow distant. Because they're going to hate you like they hated Jesus. They're going to reject you like they rejected Jesus. And you will be persecuted. And it's not pretty to say. And it's probably horrible to think about. But it's the God's honest truth. You see, people left Jesus when he was telling them who he was. In John chapter 6, Jesus clearly stated, I am the bread of life, the living bread. You will eat my flesh and drink my blood. And people left. They said, you crazy, man. You the son of Mary and Joseph. You grew up down the street. You ain't no son of God. We're getting out of here. And then Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, you want to go too? And I love what Peter said. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Ain't nowhere else for us to go. Where else we gonna go? And as followers of Christ, we already know we cannot live this life alone. Many have tried and many have failed. You have to equip yourself to follow. You have to remember that you are a child of God. Amen. And focusing on him and spending time with him is how you build that relationship. Right. You have to be plugged in. Small groups, fellowship, personal Bible study, and prayer. And the latter two, they go hand in hand. Your personal Bible study, which is how you get closer to God on your own time, and your prayer go hand in hand. Because you can't sit there and pray for discernment and wisdom and not get in the Word. Because when you get in the Word, after you pray for discernment and wisdom, the Spirit will lead you to the discernment and wisdom. If you're praying for a better financial situation, you get in the Word and let the Spirit lead you to help you with your finances. If you're praying for restoration, get in the Word and let the Spirit lead you to restoration and reconciliation of those friendships, all your relationships, and even your marriage, if that's what you're going after. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first God and his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we must follow ourselves. We must follow and ask ourselves, what does seeking look like? What does it look like when you're seeking God? It's prayer. It's meditation. It's spending time with God. It's serving. Even though a lot of us don't like to serve, it's serving. It's allowing God to act in our hearts and in our lives in every single aspect of our life. Not just what you already think you're good at. I can handle this, God. You handle that stuff over there and we'll be good. It requires us to be still so we can hear and listen for the voice. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. His will be done regardless. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night and be careful to do everything that is written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. It said everything written in it. It didn't say take a quarter of it, take half of it. It said everything that is written in it. So you can't take Genesis, Deuteronomy, give me some Psalms, some Proverbs, a little bit of the gospel. You can have all the revelations. You can't take, you have to take it all. It all comes together. And when you get to that point, you realize that it's no longer about what we want. It's no longer about our selfish ambitions. It's no longer about trying to keep up with the Joneses and what everybody has. It's no longer about you or what you want. It's about carrying our cross daily. It's about dying to our fleshly desires and letting God lead the way in total trust and total faith. Jeremiah 10:23 says, Lord, I know that the people's lives are not their own. It does not belong to them to direct their own steps. And Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. But we all know how hard it is to trust people, let alone how hard it would be to trust something that you can't see. But see, that's when your belief comes into play. See, your belief builds your faith. Your faith builds your trust. Your trust causes you to act. And when you act, you're following.
That's good,
Nick. You're following.
Come on.
Some would say that if you believe and you ain't accompanied with the faith or the trust, you may be stagnant. Just sitting there. Who wants to be stagnant in the kingdom of God? Who wants to be stagnant in that place? Is it easy? No. But I have yet to find a scripture in the Bible that says, following me will be easy. Following me, you won't have no worries, no troubles, no strife. Hakuna Matata. I ain't found that nowhere. So you have to ask yourself, what foundation am I building on? Am I building on a foundation of rock that will withstand the storm? Or am I building on the foundation of sand? You see, whose steps will you follow? Will you follow yours? Or will you follow Christ? Whose purpose is greater, yours or God's? Where do you put it? Where will you place it? Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
That's what it says.
But not only money. It's whatever has your undivided attention. Whatever may hinder your relationship with Christ. It could be anything. It could be social media, work, sex, drugs, food, recreational activities, porn. The list can go on and on and on and on. And like I told the first service, I know y'all be tied up in Fortnite because I was there too. I was all in Fortnite. I had to fast. It got crazy. Because you find yourself spending time doing things that don't matter and not having your quiet times, not working on your memory verses, not fellowshipping with your friends, drawing closer to God, not having no personal study. And all that is detrimental to what you're planning for. Being kingdom minded. Everything here is for a short period of time. I ain't saying don't enjoy your life, because you're supposed to. God wants us to thrive. But you have to put him in there somewhere, and preferably up here. And then all that other stuff will be added.
Right.
Blessings on blessings on blessings. And there may not be money. It may be other ways that God blesses you. Every time we think of blessing, we think of money. It may not be money. I've been blessed in several ways, and I'm broke as a joke. Just to let y'all know, I'll be real with y'all. But when we decide to follow Christ, we put everything to the side. We draw close to God by being in the Word. You love on people when you don't feel like loving on folks. I told them earlier, the first time that we came into the church, after my wife had kept pressuring me to go, and we got invited by some friends, and I finally said, okay, we'll go. The first time I walked through those doors, Paxton Hamby was there, and he greeted me, and I went to shake his hand, and he put his arms out, gave me a hug. Y'all know Paxton is a mountain of a man. Grabbed me up. Welcome to North Point, brother. And that small act of love changed my whole perception of what I thought I was going into. Changed everything. Those small acts of love can change the world. It is a game changer. Even when you're having a bad day and being bitter, I could come by Jeff. Jeff could be having a bad day and being bitter. If I don't speak, he may be like, well, you know, you don't care about me. But he never know what you're going to say. I'm like, Jeff, how you doing today, brother? It's good to see you. That right there alone could take this to this. Y'all like that mug, don't you? You like that mug, don't you? Let me tell y'all. But we forgive. We forgive unlimitedly. We forgive unlimitedly. Don't hold on to no grudges. Holding on to a grudge ain't doing you no good but keeping you away from blessings. People don't like to forgive. People don't like to forget. That's fine. But forgive, that's what Jesus called us to do. He called us to serve. To serve. Yes. Serve. Don't just sit there, serve. It's okay to get to know new people in the church. You don't have to come and hear the word and just leave. Get to know people. People want to get to know you. I want to get to know all of you. I know most of you already. The lights are keeping me from the people in the back, but I'm pretty sure I know you. Build those relationships up. And we answer the call and we follow Christ when you're at work and you know you need to be talking to that coworker. You know you need to be talking to that coworker about the love of God and what Jesus can do for him. But instead, you're involved in conversations and stuff that don't even matter. It don't even matter. You hear Jesus nudging you. Come on now. Come on. Talk to him. Talk to him. And you were talking about some, boy, you see that touchdown Trevor threw last year at Carterville when they played out of tuna? Boy, that boy was on fire. Talk to him. Talk to him. Tell him about me. And you keep on going. Ain't even worrying about it. We swallow our pride. Swallow your pride. It's okay. It's okay to have some help now and then. Ain't nothing wrong with it. We done had plenty of help. And I had to swallow my pride in our situation. Felt less than a man. Wasn't working. Was crying all the time. But I had to swallow my pride and realize people love you. My mama said, swallow your pride, boy. People love you. Let them love on you. Receive that love. It's okay. Swallow your pride. Let somebody help you. They want to help you. Don't feel like you can't do it on your own. You can do it on your own because you can't do it on your own. Nobody can do it on their own. Let God direct your steps. Let him direct you. And when you let him direct you, you be still. When you go to him in prayer, when you give it all to him, give it all to him. The hardest part is waiting. Don't give it all to him and take it back as soon as you say amen and try to figure out how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that. Give it all to him. The hardest part is waiting, but when you wait, you're humble. You learn patience. And he's always working in you. God is not a yes man. He's not going to say yes to this, yes to this, yes to this. And you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. He's not going to do that. He wants you to sincerely love him the way that he sincerely loves you already.
That's right, man.
So get close to him. It's using our gifts and our talents for his glory. I know a lot of y'all out there, a lot of y'all got a lot of gifts. Some of y'all ain't got none, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We all got to start somewhere. But using your gifts and your talents for the glory of God. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm going to put somebody on the spot. Me and JJ, we work on music. I call him Chick. I'm not going to call him JJ. Me and Chick, we work on music. You know, and we had a big circuit. You know, we was doing shows and winning shows and winning shows. And we finally got to a point that it was like, you know what? We felt like we was on top. But we really wasn't because we weren't giving no glory to God. You know, now we kind of in the same position where we both decided to make a change. Let God work in our life. Let him work in our heart. And we say, you know what? We pray that if God give us a second chance to do it, we're going to do it for him this time. We're going to give him the glory this time. Yes. Use your gifts and your talents for the glory of God. And I guarantee you to come back in abundance. And this one right here is really going to get y'all. It is okay. It is okay to hold your brothers and your sisters accountable when they've done something wrong. It may cause a problem, but as long as you're doing it out of love, it's okay. Don't do it because you want to be nosy and want to be in their business. But if we come together and be like, hey, brother, I heard you going through this. We just want to talk to you for a minute. Without accountability, there's no responsibility. How can I look at you and know that you're doing all of this and not say nothing to you? If that's the case, then I don't love you. Because when you love somebody, what do you want for them? You want the best for them. You want the best for them. So it's okay to hold each other accountable. We have to learn to do that. Everything that I've been talking about is hard. There's nothing easy about it. But this is what we take on when we decide to become followers of Jesus Christ. You know, here within the church, we've witnessed it and we've seen it. We've seen a family uproot and move to Lebanon following the call, following Jesus. We've seen dormitories built in Liberia and chicken coops following Jesus answering the call. We know of people dedicated to saving marriages and saving anybody that they can following Jesus on a call from God. We got Jeff and Missy going to the full-time missionary work, following Jesus, answering the call of God. Personally, I've seen it. I've experienced from my church family. From all the words of encouragement, text messages, calls, visits, prepared meals, financial support, making sure me and mine had transportation, to the ladies that befriended my wife and gave her a support system and a shoulder to cry on, to the youth leaders that took time to spend with my kids when they were going through what we was going through, and to the men that met me in the foyer that Sunday morning before my small group meeting and prayed on me and loved on me during that difficult time. You've answered the call and the command given in John 13, 34 through 35, where Jesus clearly said, a new commandment I give, love one another as I loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love amongst yourself. But in closing, I want to encourage each and every one of you to be a follower and not just a believer. James stated in James 2:19, you believe there is one God good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You can believe all you want to, but you have to let your belief build your faith, and your faith build your trust, and as you trust, you act, and when you act, you follow. Jesus didn't say, he didn't just say, believe in me, you'll be okay. He said, follow me. He said, follow me. In Matthew 6:24, he said to the disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You have to die daily. And you know, I was in the point to where I didn't know what they were talking about. They were talking about die daily. What they mean, die daily? But dying daily means letting yourself go and being made new in the image of Christ. You have to let go of the things, those fleshly desires that hold you back. And there is no way that any one of us is going to be perfect. He didn't say be perfect. It says nowhere to be perfect. It says follow me. You let go of yourself bits and pieces. And you take up your cross and you follow Christ. And you go. Slowly let him break you down and let him make you new. That pain will do that. That pain will make you a new person. Allow him to work in your heart and in your lives. Answer those calls that you know he's calling you to do. And join in the ultimate fight between good and evil. See, spiritual warfare is still going on, regardless if you believe it or not. Right. But every time you answer the call and you follow and be obedient, you win a battle and a test that God has set on your journey and your path for your purpose. Every time you answer the call, and don't just be stagnant. You see, at times we tend to forget that we serve the same God as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The same God that delivered the Israelites from the Egypt, split the sea wide open. That's The same God that saved Daniel from the lion's den untouched.
Right, same God.
And how can we forget about Rishak, Meshach, and Abednego? They was threw in the fiery furnace. Threw in the fiery furnace, and now the fabric was singed. We serve that same God today. And your time is now. What are you waiting for? To be a follower. And let that God that has done all these incredible things that we read about in the Bible, the handbook of our life, do the same thing in your life. I'm a testimony to it. I done seen his hand move in mine. I done seen it move. And I was even blessed enough. He even blessed me enough to let me see where his hand had moved in the past. And then like it all came together in real-time blessings. When he caught me from falling. When he told me to go this way when I was trying to go that way. And when I was fighting against him, he would still love me every way. So I just want to encourage you. And I want to challenge yourself this morning to ask yourself these questions this week. Sincerely ask yourself these questions. When he splits the sea wide open for you, are you prepared to walk right through it? Are you ready to receive that overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God? Are you ready to let the Spirit lead you to where your trust is really without borders? And maybe, well, I know, I ain't gonna say maybe. If your answer is yes, I can only imagine the work that God is going to do through you and how he's going to change your life and make things happen. I'm a firm believer, but I'm a strong follower.
Amen.
I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, I come before you now. I thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you for letting me be a vessel for you this week. I thank you for the things that you've shown me, the things that you put in my life, on my path, for my purpose for you. Everything we do, we give you the glory. And I hope that somebody's heart, eyes, and ears are open this morning, and somebody needed to hear the word. And they'll want to be more than just a believer, that they decide to follow you. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.